Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast, award-winning. All right, not really, but it sounds big and got you right through the door. This time, we have a real guest, Eric Shanks, my boss, Fox Sports CEO and executive producer. Beyond the multiple Emmys, Sports Business Journal 40 Under 40 Hall of Fame, he directs all aspects of Fox Sports TV, investments, partnerships, programming and production, and in my career of doing this, has probably the best instincts of anybody I've ever met, which is remarkable because I don't know if you started in programming, but you have very good, for a boss, you have very good TV instincts. And most bosses either come from sales and their instincts stink, but they're smart. So where did you get your instincts for the business? You know what works quick, and I lean on you, and where does that come from?
Well, first, Colin, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Great to finally be on your podcast.
Thank you. Long line for that, by the way.
Exactly. I grew up literally right here at Fox Sports, just by having great producers that I worked for, great talent, great storytellers in live television. And I've just always been curious about it, even since I was in high school working in radio stations and writing every day at a newspaper. The idea of, I love television, right? And I love live television, and the fact that, you learn how to plan for every eventuality, and then it never goes as planned, and you learn to just shake it off and, throw an interception and go back and know that you got to drive down the field again. And so learning from guys like Bob Stenner, Richie Zients, David Hill, John Madden, Matt Millen, Dick Stockton, all those guys are just kind of, each bit of them, has a little something to do with me.
I want to talk because you are investments and partnerships, and I like business. So I'll come up once a month and just, I always say to you, give me something. What's happening in the world? XFL debuts next year in February. I'm a believer in spring football for a lot of reasons. The convergence of legalized sports gambling, the appetite for sports on TV with the emergence of the Netflix sports now is the thing that works. And frankly, half the NFL is undrafted. There is a surplus of talent. So I want to start with that. That I think one of the breaks that spring football, why it may not have worked 20 years ago, is this. Teams don't carry a third quarterback. So, again, the convergence of more college offense into the NFL, more of the college kids are working in the NFL, and now nobody keeps a third quarterback in the NFL. So to me, can you guys find in the XFL 10 quarterbacks? I mean, that to me ensures it works. If the quarterback plays good, it works. Talk a little bit about the personnel available to you.
Yeah, I think a couple of things there. Besides the things that you mentioned, if you talk to guys like Coach Madden, or Jimmy Johnson, they'll tell you that 20 years ago, when you had to get your roster down to 53, it actually was pretty easy. Like, guy number 54, John would call him just a guy. Like, you knew that guy number 54 was not as good as guy number 53.
Yeah.
I think today, they'll tell you, it's harder than ever. The quality of athleticism, the quality of talent coming out of college makes it hard that there's not much difference between probably number 60 and number 50 today. So the quality of players and how they're being coached in college just means that the overall quality is up, and that 700 of them go undrafted every year coming out of Division I football. And so I think there's an enormous talent pool available to Oliver Luck and the coaching staffs at the XFL, but you're right, it has to be about quarterbacks.
Got to hit on a few of those.
You got to hit on a few quarterbacks, right? And I think they'll come from both ends of the spectrum. I think they'll come from guys who don't get drafted. I think it'll come from guys who are really questioning whether they want to play the last 2 years of college, right? And they could still play a couple of years of the XFL and have the potential to go really high in the draft.
Now, let's create clarity for our listeners here. The XFL does not have to wait 3 years.
Yes.
How does our partnership with the NFL, how do they view that?
You know, I think it's tough for me to speculate on that. So I don't think I understand their point of view, or if they have formulated, you know, a point of view on that. And then I think players will come from the other end of the spectrum, like Mark Sanchez, right? You don't think Mark can still play and probably play well in the XFL? So I think they'll come from both sides, the quarterback selections.
It's interesting. There always has been a little bit of a reluctance to go play in Canada. It's seen as second-tier football. But my feeling, and Mark Sanchez is, I think, a really good example, the USFL, Jim Kelly, Steve Young, it was, I mean, Warren Moon and Vince Ferragamo are about the CFL guys that slipped through, right? But I go back to the USFL. I watched it. Yeah. There were a lot of good players in that league.
Yeah, I think the original incarnation of the XFL, it really says a lot about what this XFL is going to be or not be, right? And it's going to be more about real football, right, at a high level, and probably strives to be more like what the USFL was at the beginning, which is there was a great talent pool that was coming out.
Oh, remarkable.
Into the USFL.
You go back, somebody wrote a book about it. It's remarkable how many Pro Bowlers came out of that.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk about something that I've never understood. My first job out of college was Vegas. I had friends who were odds makers. Right. They're like Wall Street guys. They were analysts. They weren't guys that were wearing trench coats at night. They were like numbers guys.
Did you ever think you could be one of them?
Well, first of all, everyone I knew that did it was really smart.
Right.
So I looked at Wall Street guys, and I looked at Vegas odds makers, and I was like, I don't see the difference. So there was this stigma that you had to be in the market or you were dope, but if you had listened to a bookie or an odds maker, you were a creep. And I never bought it.
Right.
And so the legalization of gambling to me is, Europe's way ahead of us on this, is, you know, you can go into an EPL stadium and bet it. I don't get it. Finally, I think, like a lot of things, legalized marijuana. It just takes a while for the country to get comfortable with it. You've spent a lot of time in Europe, so I think you are probably more comfortable with it. So Fox comes out. We have a new online betting app called the Fox Bet. Right before the football season, it'll be introduced. This is a bank where I can put my money and trust it. Let's talk about this group, first of all, we have partnered with. Let's start with that, and then I'll move to a second question. The Stars Group.
Right. So the Stars Group has been operating sports books and iGaming, right, all around the world for 15 years. So they're a leader in technology. And what we liked about them was, you know, they're a leader in knowing how to work with media brands in the sports wagering space.
Oh, they are.
Right. So they run Skybet in the UK.
Okay.
And Skybet is a tremendously successful sports wagering platform in the UK that takes the power of Sky and what it can do with integrating wagering.
Tell our audience what Sky is.
Oh, so Sky actually in the UK and all around Europe now is a combination of, say, a DirecTV and Fox.
Yes.
So they are the distributor and the content owner of the channels. So imagine, you know, it's a lot like Comcast, actually, right? So Comcast is a distributor and owns NBC
right.
at the same time.
Right.
Right. So there's a platform in the UK called Skybet.
Yeah.
And tremendously successful. And the integration around the Premier League, especially, but other sports, is very tightly integrated with the wagering platform. Mm-hmm. So their talent on Saturdays and Sundays will be very open talking about the favorites and who are the odds to win, and that you can go place a bet on Skybet. And for us here, we take a little bit of a different tact, right? Because it's not legal in every state.
That's
so
right.
We will still be tightly integrated from a marketing standpoint, but the thing that we're going to, fans will see mostly at home this fall is us talking about a free-to-play game. So people will be able to download an app. We don't have a name for it yet. what this product is. But no matter what state you're in, mostly, you'll be able to just pick the outcome of six different things that we will be pushing that week, whatever games we pick. And if you pick the outcome of that, you're going to win a prize correctly. It's like picking a perfect bracket,
right,
for the week.
Yeah.
And if you live in a state where sports wagering is legal, when you are in the free-to-play game, you'll actually probably get a link to take you to be able to place a wager.
Yeah.
So it's a proposition of free-to-play for everybody, wagering where it's legal.
And, you know, like poker, I think most states, it's rolling pretty fast now. I think over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, it's probably going to be legal in 47, 48 states, some conservative states. I don't know where Utah may push back on it, but I think most, there are some southern states that are conservative, but they like their gambling.
That's already there.
Yeah, so right? Tennessee's already all in on this. Eric Shanks. The second question I have on this is not the obvious one, because I think the NFL may not be as talkative about it as the NBA right now, but everybody knows you'll be able to bet NFL games. The college situation's interesting because college is amateurism, and I remember being at other companies where they didn't even like you to talk about betting if you talked about college football or college basketball. Is there pushback? Is there a sense, will college embrace it like I know all the pro leagues will?
I think there's definitely a higher sensitivity in the college space, whether you talk to commissioners or ADs.
Right.
And there should be. Right? I mean, it's a different thing. These are not professional athletes.
Right.
And it's not a professional game. Right? So there's definitely a higher sensitivity to it. I don't think anybody sits around and puts their head in the sand and says, oh, well, nobody bets on college football.
Yeah.
So let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
So we will treat college differently.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to editorial and how much editorial you integrate into it. But, you know, at the end of the day, college is probably going to be the number, you know, the number three, number four most wagered on thing in the country. And, you know, no matter what sport you are and what your view is at the moment towards wagering, there is no question that you absolutely know that because of wagering, you're going to have higher engagement from your fans. So whether you endorse wagering or not, more people are going to watch your game longer than they have before wagering.
Yeah, that's not disputable.
Absolutely. And so, you know, even in the first few years of Fox Bet, you know, if there's enough wagering or free-to-play games going on and we can raise the national ratings of an NFL regular season by a tenth or even two-tenths of a rating point, that's probably going to be, you know, as valuable, if not more valuable, than the wagering itself, because it is rolling out so slow.
Mm-hmm. Eric Shanks is joining us, Fox Sports CEO, executive producer. He kind of controls our investments, partnerships, everything. It's been a frenetic last year for you as TV is changing, the business models of TV. There was just something in New York called Upfronts. For the uninitiated, that is basically we go to New York, we bring our heads of states and the Joe Bucks and Eric and all that, and we sell our future. Obviously, we are a different company today, but from what I heard yesterday from my agent, he said Fox really presented a smart, swift, heavy sports model, and that's what we are. It's the new Fox. I kind of believe that's what you have to be going forward. I don't think there's any dispute on that either. WWE is interesting. So for years, I used to just make fun of it. It's wrestling. I watched it as a kid. And then about 5 years ago at the other place, I said on the air, I said, listen, we got 30 sports networks. These guys are all dying. They're all dying for content. And I said at the time, I think it's time to put WWE on a big sports network. And I remember saying that, and people were like, whoa, Colin. And I'm like, the world's changed. So take your worldview of WWE 10 years ago, and then the moment you decided, hey, I want to do business with these people.
Yeah, we've at Fox been close to doing business with the WWE, you know, a couple of times in the past. I think I probably ended up having kind of the same view as some of the people you were talking about with, you know, if you're in a true sports media company, we were probably a little precious a decade ago about our product and the sanctity of real sports.
Because
and,
your view, from the outside, you seem like the fun network, but you were inside the walls.
Yeah, because you just don't know what how people are going to react to it, right? And what's it going to do to your brand? But what they've done the last 10 years with the WWE has totally, you know, blown any doubts out of the water. What Vince, what Stephanie, what Paul, Triple H, you know, how they've managed that brand and really brought the storytelling and the rise of, you know, women into the league and really kind of just broadened it and made it so much more accessible and really embraced who they are that it was a no-brainer for us, especially on the broadcast network, right? The broadcast network for WWE was a fantastic opportunity because a broadcast network is exactly that. It's broad, right? And it reaches a lot of people. So we're, you know, look, the stars aligned and we were able to do it. And we're going to make the absolute most of this. I think we're probably going to have more fun integrating the WWE into all of our sports and entertainment assets than any other network could.
Eric Shanks joining me, Fox Sports CEO and executive producer. He's never joined us on the Saturday podcast because he has high standards, and sometimes we don't.
Well, but it's tough for me to get up early on a Saturday like this.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I'm exhausted, barely getting through this. So it kind of a macro question. I think it's a great time. I tell my friends this. Our company got rid of the movie stars. Now sports matters more. I tell my wife this. I'm like, I'm the soap opera guy now. Like I used to be at Fox, there was movie stars and there was midday stars and then there were sports stars. And then there was a, I think it's a great time to be in sports. I say this all the time is I've never seen a more passionate group of people. There's networks fighting over it. This has been in the last 2 years, take me back to the beginning of your career. Cable TV changed the whole game. And then Netflix feels like they're changing the game. Take me back to the beginning and now. Has this been the craziest 2 to 3 years? Or is it? Or am I missing something that every 5 years it's always like this?
No, it's been the craziest that I can remember because there's not just one thing happening, right? If there was, if you go back, 25 years ago, there was no cable competition. DirecTV was just starting. DirecTV disrupted the world by getting Sunday Ticket. And now all of a sudden, oh yeah, I'll put a dish on my house, right? If I can get Sunday Ticket. And there was disruption happening there. But it was just one thing disrupting the traditional model. And, you know, over time, the landline business got disrupted by cell phones. And I remember there was a business case study about how everybody at AT&T thought their world was over, right? And what am I going to do if I can't bill you $2 a minute for long distance and you're not going to have a landline in your house anymore? And they thought their business was going to come to an end. And then somebody said, well, you know what? Why don't we charge per megabit for this thing called the internet over wireless? And wow, I think maybe rather than have one phone in the house, we might actually have 4 or 5 phone bills in the house. AT&T's is bigger than it ever was right now. You fast forward to where we are today, there's multiple things happening right now. It's not just this division of Netflix's of the world and Amazon and Hulu disrupting the scripted entertainment space, but they're also disrupting the distributors who were distributing that as well. So they're competing with the movie studios and the TV studios. They're also competing and disrupting the Comcast and the Charters and the Dish and the DirecTVs of the world. There's so many things happening all at once that's kind of what makes it the craziest time that at least, you know, I can remember. And have had to kind of deal with a lot of what we deal with is the here and the now, which is great. What game are we going to produce this weekend? What story are we going to talk about? But what the heck does this business look like in 5 years? And like, how do you set your plan for it in 5 years? And what do you need to do to get there?
Hi guys, Summers here. Tommy John is ready to have you looking and feeling ready for Memorial Day barbecues and 4th of July fireworks. They're going to keep you patriotic from cheek to shining cheek with their all-new red, white, and blue underwear collection, including USA flag print for both men and the ladies. The collection comes in all of their best-selling fabrics, including the cool cotton fabric that features breathable, lightweight fibers that keep you 2 to 3 times cooler and dry 4 to 5 times faster than regular cotton. Plus, now through the end of May, Tommy John's donating 5% of every purchase of select red, white, and blue styles to the Honor Foundation to support veterans transitioning to civilian life. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. All you have to do, and it's easy, go to TommyJohn.com/HERD, H-E-R-D, and that will save you 20% on your first order. TommyJohn.com/HERD, TommyJohn.com/HERD.
You know, one of the things I feel strongly about is sports networks need identities. And I don't count HBO as a sports network, but HBO boxing was a real thing. If you said HBO Sports, I was like, oh, boxing. It would have been very easy for you to not create FS1, right? I mean, Fox stayed out of that for a while. CBS, I still think, was way too late to the party. NBC has not gone with on-air personalities. But you made a decision at this company, whenever it was, you know what? We're going to go with individuals who have shows, 6A to 6P, and we're going to go up against the Titan, right? The industry leader. Take me back to when you and the Murdochs said, okay, let's go for it. Let's go after, you know, it's probably the same meeting Southwest Herb had at Southwest Airlines 50 years ago, United, Delta, and somebody said, we're going to go. We're going to try and take on the Titans. Now look at Southwest. Dinner, moment, epiphany, when you decided, we're going to go after those guys with this cable sports network with opinion shows.
Well, I do think it's an amazing point in the Fox Sports history. It clearly wasn't just me. You know, we have bosses here, especially, you know, Rupert, Lachlan, at the time Chase Carey was here,
yeah.
David Hill was still here. Always being able to kind of look ahead and make sure that you are you're seeing what you need to be and not reacting, being proactive rather than reactive.
Right.
And what they saw at the time was the fact that this bundle was going to go through a tremendous amount of pressure. Everybody had ridden the gravy train of just launching a new linear cable network and charging a dime or a quarter for it and making a ton of money. It seemed like it was endless, the amount of money that was going to come in through the pay TV system, and that people were just going to continue to subscribe to your traditional pay TV. They looked out and said, my gosh, we've got, I think, 11 brands that we need to have carried on a pay TV system. That's not sustainable. And that was 7 or 8 years ago, right? We had everything from Fox Movie Channel to Speed and Fuel,
right,
and Fox Soccer Channel. And so they said, what we need to do, we need to have fewer brands in the Fox portfolio, but those brands really have to be meaningful and valuable in people's lives, that they do want to have a bundle of channels that has us in it. So we had to be bigger and powerful. Smaller brands, but bigger and powerful. And that's when we decided to cull down some of the single-purpose brands, like a motorsports or a soccer or whatever, and, you know, cull it down into a more powerful national sports networks of FS1 and FS2. And that decision was, I mean, could you imagine if we were sitting here today and we had a singular motorsports channel? And we had a singular soccer channel and a singular, it it would be on. We it wouldn't be. We wouldn't be sitting here today. We'd be. Our hair would be on fire figuring out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then once we launched FS1, as you know, we didn't start off with the idea of having 6A to 6P personality based sports opinion and talk. We started out with a lot of news. We thought we could make a go of it, and it was at the exact same time that sports news was being disrupted by phones and YouTube and Twitter
and you
Facebook.
Pivoted very quickly.
And that's one thing I do take pride in, is that this place, if something's not working, we'll pivot quickly. And we pivoted from our first brand campaign really quickly. We pivoted from news really quickly. And I tell you, I just couldn't be happier with where we are today, because when you look at where we are today, it's what this place was based on. You know, this place was based on Fox NFL Sunday, Terry, Howie,
right.
Jimmy. And we should have seen from the very beginning that that's what we should have done, is base FS1 around really strong personalities that have big followings, like you and Skip. And so we... I feel really good about where we are today.
Yeah. Eric Shanks is joining me. The NFL is just, to me, so much fun. When you look, you joined this company, I believe the first year that we, Fox got the NFL, didn't you?
Yeah.
94?
94, yeah.
Just take me back. What was it like? What was the NFL? Now, again, a lot of the people that listen to my podcast are 28 years old. 1994 NFL, so that's 25 years ago. How is it different?
Yeah, there...
Huddles.
Yeah, there were huddles. You know, look, I was in 1994, what was I was 23 years old, right? And so I almost, I don't really remember a lot of the 80s in the NFL. Right, I think we came out of the greatest heroes of the NFL at the time were still from the 70s. I mean, it was Terry, right? It was Roger Staubach. It was that golden era of the 70s. And so, you know, for me, it was like, you know, the NFL in the 80s, for me as a fan, is a little bit of a blur. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think it was a great era for them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden... you get a couple of new owners. You get Robert Kraft coming in as an owner. You get Jerry Jones coming in as an owner, very close to one another. And you get Fox coming into the NFL all at the same time, basically. And you get David Hill, who is coming from London and Australia, never produced an NFL game before. And he introduced so many new things, music, graphics, personalities. The on-screen presentation of the NFL just took massive leaps and bounds in 1994, and it's if you are not old enough to remember it, it was night and day, and it was something that the play on the field just got better and better and better. There was more money going into the league because
it felt bigger on TV,
and it felt
the Cowboys and Jimmy Johnson were a rock tour. I mean, I'm like the Jordan's Bulls.
Yeah.
Like I loved football in the 70s and 80s, but when I think of the explosion of the NFL, I think of Jimmy Johnson and the Dallas Cowboys. The owner was a personality. The coach was a personality. The quarterback looked like a model. They were controversial. Like, I agree with you. The 90s, like the NBA was largely dead before Magic and Bird.
Mm-hmm.
It was really in trouble. Magic and Bird, not saved it, but certainly elevated it. I feel like the Cowboys, Fox, gave it juice.
Yeah. Don't forget, it was the first time, like, it was, people thought that Rupert was crazy for paying what he paid, $400 million. So, think about this. You know, we alone today, we pay, what, $1.2 billion for our Sunday package? Back then, Rupert paid $400 million. It was the first time that these owners were probably like, I can actually start to really spend money, you know, and play. It filtered down to the players, and right. It created those stars. Let's not forget, it's money makes stars, right? And so, you know, it ushered in a whole new era, right, of the NFL. You know, before, I remember when it was David Hill that wanted to put the score and the clock up in the corner of the screen that had never been done before. Never been done before. And when we did it, people at other networks said that they would never do it, that it would get in the way of the game, or they even wanted to hide the score of the game. If it was a blowout, they wanted you to have to watch maybe until it went to commercial to figure out what the score of the game was so that you didn't turn away. And imagine where we are, you know, then to where we are today.
The fantasy stuff up there now. Used to
fantasy stuff up there.
Eric Shanks, 30 great minutes, CEO, executive producer. We got XFL debuting in 2020. The Fox Bet app debuting probably close to football, August.
Yeah, close to football.
And WWE begins
October 4th. Right here in Los Angeles at the Staples Center.
By the way, I went to my first event with you and Larry Jones. I had no idea. It's 52 weeks. So the thing ends, for those listening, they usher them out to a limo to an airport, and the next night they're somewhere else. Or the next week they have – it's a remarkable production.
Not only does Charlotte Flair love you.
Oh, Lord.
Absolutely loves you.
Oh.
The if you go backstage and you see the tremendous amount of effort that this traveling, you know, village puts on, they're making a feature film every Monday and Tuesday night. They have wardrobe. They're making the, you know, they have people that are actually sewing the costumes from scratch back there. The lighting, the pyro, the signage, the rehearsals that they have to do, the athleticism, the camera blocking. They're making a live feature film every Monday and Tuesday night.
I was blown away by it. Behind the scenes, I was absolutely blown away by it. I mean, they're just limos, airport, here goes, trucks rolling out, 18-wheelers, on to Atlanta.
Going to the next one.
I mean, it's just a half hour after a match. Boom.
Here we go.
Eric, great seeing you.
All right.
Eric Shanks,
thanks,
Saturday
Colin.
Morning Podcast.